Hello there. Well, thank you for joining in today, brothers and sisters, with our new study of the letter R, the third study in the letter R in the ABCs of Christian growth. I welcome you to today's study, and I'd like to say how much I appreciate you and admire you for disciplining yourself to study God's Word. We're commanded to study God's Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we're commanded to study God's Word, and when it comes down to it, when you've studied God's Word just a little bit, you'll find out that it's for our benefit that the Lord wants us to study His Word, because it's everything to us. It's everything to our walk with the Lord. And finding things out about our Lord is wonderful. But welcome, and we're going to start this new study, and our new study in third is study number 18B, and it is on reconciliation. Reconciliation, and what the Bible has to say about reconciliation. You say, well, that seems kind of insignificant to talk about, having to do with spiritual matters and having to do with the Word of God. I mean, where does reconciliation, how in the world has that got to anything to do with spirituality and the things of God and Christianity? Well, it's got quite a bit to do with spirituality and the things of God. As a matter of fact, it is a vital part and a critical part of Christianity. If there was no such thing as reconciliation, brother, sister, you and I would be doomed. We would be doomed. I think what I'm going to do is try to consider this an introduction to the study, because as with some of our other studies, whenever we begin to get into them, we define what we're talking about. Reconciliation. What does reconciliation mean? What does it mean? What does it stand for? And how does the Bible define it? But some of the topics that the Lord wants me to put together with these studies, and when I'm studying it myself, the first thing I do is go and try to find definitions for these words and try to understand what I'm thinking about and what in the world, what does this word mean? And then take it to the Scriptures and apply it and find out what God the Holy Ghost is going to teach us about it. So, having said all that, beginning this study on reconciliation, the first thing that should be said about it is that it's one of the key factors that takes place when someone's born again. Now, you've heard me say that before in some of our other studies, but these are some of the things that were taught years ago in Christianity. When I first became a Christian, right at 40 something years ago now, or a little over 40 years ago, these things were common for the church and the teachers and everybody that was discipling new Christians, new babes in Christ. These were the things that were being taught. The very first, I mean, right when you were born again, you were put into class with these things right here, because they're so important to your salvation, to let you understand what has taken place when you were born again. Now, many Christians do not know and have not been taught these very important truths that took place when they were saved. For example, not only reconciliation took place when you were saved, brothers and sisters, things such as justification, redemption, some of these studies we've already been over, propitiation took place, remission took place, expiation took place, imputation took place, regeneration took place, spiritual circumcision took place, adoption took place, sanctification took place, and glorification took place. And some of these things that I just mentioned are still taking place and are going to to even take place further on into the future as the Lord gets closer to his return. And when he does return, some of these things will mature then in our lives. But until then, they are growing and they are building, and you'll see that as we study these things. But reconciliation is one part of all of these things that took place when you were born again. So, like I said, sanctification and glorification were all part of a person's salvation when they were reconciled to God at salvation. All of these things took place when a person was reconciled to God at salvation. That is when a human being is reconciled to God in these days that we live in. In order to be reconciled to God, a new birth has to take place. Now, we're going to talk about specifically what reconciliation is and what the Bible says it is and how many different avenues and different variances reconciliation covers in the Scriptures, because it does cover several. One should understand that reconciliation and all the other aforementioned, the things that we just mentioned that go along with you being born again that have taken place, the truths are the difference of whether a person goes to heaven or hell. Yeah. Reconciliation either takes place in your life or the wrath of God is on you and you're on your way to hell. If you have been born again and you're on your way to heaven, reconciliation has taken place in your life and still taking place. So, as you can see, this is not a truth to be taken lightly as if it doesn't really matter if someone is reconciled to God or not. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." That's what the Bible says. That's what Paul said. Be ye reconciled to God. So this is not a light thing or a thing to be taken lightly, this matter of reconciliation. Let's set it in the context that it needs to be set in of importance. Like I said, 2 Corinthians, Brother Paul said, "Be ye reconciled to God," because it does matter. It does matter whether you've been reconciled or whether somebody has been reconciled. Now, there's many different scenarios in the world among humans as to how one can be reconciled to God. And if me and you were to sit down and write out the many different things that we've heard and seen in society and among human beings about how to be reconciled to God, it'd be many different, many of them, wouldn't there? All men wonder and search. Don't get it twisted. All men and women, we're creatures of habit. We have to serve something. God made us that way. We are servants. God made us. And if you're not going to serve God, the true and living God, you're going to serve something. Even if you make it and build it yourself, you're going to serve something. You're going to bow down and worship something. All men wonder and search for a way that they can make themselves pleasing before their God, whoever he may be. In other words, the Bible says all men and women, human beings, are without excuse. That nature itself teaches that there is a God, and there's somebody more powerful than you that you're gonna have to give account to. Now, whether it be they believe in the one and true living God, maybe, maybe not, but all men wonder and search for a way that they can make themselves pleasing before their God, whoever it may be. Now, we should be honest enough within ourselves to realize that if men are by nature searching for a way to end up pleasing and reconciled to their God, then they must also believe within themselves that they are in a state of separation, outcast, and displeasing to their God. In other words, there's no sense, there's no reason for a human being to feel like they need to be reconciled and need to do the things that are pleasing before their God so that their God will accept them and be and reconcile them to himself unless they first believe that they are separated and outcast and displeasing to their God. You see how that works? One can go to any remote, any remote civilization on the earth, way out in the middle of any jungle you want to find, just as remote as can be, on this earth, and find that men have devised and found some way to content themselves that their God is not mad at them and has accepted them. Whether it be dancing around a fire and doing this, or putting fish hooks in your back and pulling stones around and making sacrifices, there's some way man has tried to figure out how he can have his mind satisfied and be content in himself that his God is not mad at him and that his God, that he is reconciled to his God. You see that thing? You know, this is, this is why so-called atheists, somebody told me one day, or I heard some people say one time, there's no atheists on an airplane when it's crashing. I believe that. Anytime you ever see something that tells a story about an airplane crashing and people giving testimony about it that survived it, they all tell you that everybody on that plane was praying. Whether they knew who they was praying to or not, they was praying. No atheists. But the so-called atheists and God-haters of the day deny the existence of God. You see how that works? No God, no accountability to God. Therefore, no reconciliation necessary. If you got no God to give account to, and you got no God, there's no such thing as God, then you don't have to give account to him, and you don't have to be reconciled to nobody. You don't have to come out pleasing in the end to anybody. Now, this, of course, does not change what the scriptural truth of the matter is, that they are without excuse. They can call themselves atheists and God-haters and all they want to entitle themselves, anything they want to title themselves. The Bible says they're without excuse. They're not going to have an excuse in the judgment day. They know there's a God that they have to give account to, and they can't get away from that. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 through 20 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them." Now, either the Bible, God is a liar, and the Bible's lying to us right now, or either every man has been shown by God that he is. It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Without excuse. You see, every man knows deep, deep, deep down in that heart that he's going to give account to his God, a God, the God, the one and true God. But they, of course, they pretend that they're atheists. They continue to pretend that they're atheists. Surprises are on the horizon, brothers and sisters. I hope that's not you. I hope you are realizing what the truth is and seeing it. The Bible says nature itself teaches you. It's some of the prettiest things I've ever seen in the environment. I seen a rainbow one time that was unbelievable. It took the entire sky up. I mean, everybody on the property where I was at work, I was a mechanic in a shop, and everybody in the shop emptied out, everybody in the office emptied out, everybody went out in the parking lot to look and gaze at that thing. And I had an opportunity to tell them, I said, that's God's promise to you right there, and he's not going to kill you with another flood and flood this world. And I left them with that. But that was the most incredible rainbow I've ever seen in my life. That thing went from one end of the earth to the other, all the way over top of us. It was incredible to look at. I'll never forget it. But nature itself teaches you that there's a God. You look up there and see that thing, I mean, that ain't no accident. Somebody put that there, and somebody's, and that thing is telling a story. It's saying something. It's saying something. And, you know, then there are those that that'll say that a real God would not separate himself from his subjects and convince themselves that all will be well in the end for everyone. You know how it goes. I'm all right. You're all right. We're all right. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Surprise is on the horizon. Got a question. By looking around in society today, just think about this. By looking around in society today, does it appear that God and man are reconciled? Does it appear that way? You know, we as people living amongst one another can tell if we are in good standing with one another and when we are not. We know reconciliation is needed when we're not. When we're not in fellowship with somebody or at a aught with one of our friends or something like that, we know reconciliation is necessary and is needed. We know that. Got another question. Looking out at man and his standing with God, if God exists, he does. Does man know reconciliation is needed? When you watch man move about, and you go out there and just stand and watch how society's working and how man moves about and everything else, does it appear that man knows that reconciliation is needed, that he's going to give account and that he needs to prepare and that some sort of reconciliation with somebody is necessary before time runs out? Does it appear that way? You know, let's look at some scriptures and study what reconciliation is and what it means and when and if it is necessary and why it's necessary. Why it's necessary. Now, just a few things. This is going to be a very short recording here, class, if you will. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop. And on this next one that comes up, we're going to define reconciliation with scriptural illustrations. We're going to take the definitions of what reconciliation is defined, the definitions of reconciliation, and search in the scriptures and see where the definitions are revealed in the scriptures. That's the first thing we're going to do when we come back on the next one. But just to wind this up, reconciliation is mentioned and is actually written in God's Word. The Word is there. I just read it to you a minute ago. Be reconciled to God. That's one. Reconciliation is mentioned and is actually written in God's Word one of four different ways. It's written in there one of four different ways to include reconcile, reconciled, reconciliation, and reconciling. Those are the four variations of reconciliation as they're mentioned in the scriptures. It shows up in 23 different passages in your Bible, 9 times in the Old Testament and 14 times in the New Testament in one of these forms. The Lord Jesus Christ himself and the Apostle Paul used the word in one of the forms in their words that we have written to us. Paul used it, and the Lord Jesus Christ used reconcile and reconciliation in one of those four forms as they spoke. What do you think reconciliation means in the scriptures and to God? What's reconciliation mean to God? I mean, we're going to find these things out. We're going to study them and go over them. And like I said, next time we come together, that's probably going to be the shortest one. It's just kind of off kilter about how the timing's working and everything, because when we get into these definitions, I want to be able to go from, to open and close one so we completely understand what we're talking about and we don't leave anything, stones unturned. I don't know how to say that, but anyway, that we get all the truth. But defining reconciliation with scriptural illustrations. For example, one definition of reconciliation is the act of reconciling parties at variance, renewal of friendship after a disagreement or enmity. Well, that sounds like a definition of reconciliation, doesn't it? Because it is. Well, where's it found in Scripture? Where's the illustrations in Scripture of the act of reconciling parties at variance, renewal of friendships after disagreement or enmity? We're going to see that. We're going to see that. Another one is the means by which sinners are reconciled and brought into a state of favor with God from natural estrangement and enmity. This is a very important one I was talking about a while ago. This is whether you go to heaven or hell. Where is it found in the scriptures? That's a definition of reconciliation, and it's a scriptural definition of reconciliation backed up with scripture. And we're going to see that. There's another one. Agreement of things seemingly opposite, different, or inconsistent. Reconciliation. Bringing things together that seemingly were opposite or different or inconsistent. Does the scriptures back that up? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. There's another one. The reestablishing of cordial relations. Reestablishing of cordial relations. Now, I know some of these seem like they kind of bump into, just run with each other, and they sort of do. But there are scriptures that define every one and illustrate every one of these definitions of reconciliation and are very important for us to understand because depending on what context you're in God's Word and what you're reading, one of these definitions is going to apply according to the Scriptures. Reconciliation does not always talk about heaven and hell, meaning heaven and hell or the wrath of God. Talking about reconciliation in some places has absolutely nothing to do with that. You see, so that's why we need to know these things. There's another one. Getting two things to correspond. Reconciliation. Do the scriptures back that up? Sure they do. Sure they do. And we'll get into that, and we'll look at them scriptures, and we'll read them, and we'll understand them and appreciate them and thank the Lord for them. So there we go. There's an introduction to our new study, the letter R, the third study is R3, study number 18B in the ABCs of Christian Growth, and it's entitled Reconciliation. Reconciliation. What in the world is the Bible talking about whenever we are instructed to be ye reconciled to God? That's a commandment. What's he talking about? We'll get into that, and we'll understand it, and God the Holy Ghost will teach it to us, and we'll willingly learn it from him and appreciate it and apply it and keep it and love it. Amen? All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. We're about 25, 26 minutes into our study, and when we come together again, we'll start out with those definitions, okay? Well, the Lord bless you, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining in today. A little short, but that's all right. We're living in eternity. We're waiting on the Lord to come. We don't have to worry about these things. So when we come back together again, we're going to get back on this study and we're going to dig in and find out what this reconciliation is all about and define it first. And then after we define it, we're going to get in some topics having to do with reconciliation, what the Bible's talking about, very interesting things. And you'll be glad to know this truth. This is a truth that that Christians should be taught as soon as they've been born again. Have you ever heard of this? A lot of them haven't today. They don't teach it anymore. So the Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.